Paul wrote in chapter 11, verse 8, and this is in closing. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day when he wrote the book Romans. He's quoting Deuteronomy, he's quoting Isaiah, he's quoting Matthew when he says that. And David says in the Psalms, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and bend their backs forever. David's not such a forgiving chap. He's like, break the teeth of those serpents, you know. Psalm 69 is where you hear the things that David says. And Paul writes in verse 11 of chapter 11, so I asked, did they stumble in order that they might fall? Speaking of Israel, by no means. Does any believer stumble that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespasses, the Jewish nation, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Because Jesus said, go to Israel first. And when Israel said, no thanks, he said, go to the highways and the byways and go to the people who weren't even looking and tell them. And make Israel jealous by the people who are coming to faith. Now, if their trespasses mean riches for the world, and their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion be? Significant to us. So the practical question is this in closing, right? If God were to tell some modern Elijah today, you maybe, run off and hide in a cave, go into the room, turn off the lights, go to bed and pull a duvet over your head and go, whoa. If God were to tell some modern Elijah, yet I have reserved unto myself 7,000 who would not bow the knee to the image of Baal, would that be enough for you? That God says, you're not alone. I'm with you and there's others. Here's another question. What if it's me? After I preach this humdinger of a sermon and I go home and I go, what's the point? Why do I even climb into that pulpit? And I'm down there and I'm just like, oh man, nobody understands me, not even the dog, you know. And I've got the covers over me. Would God consider any of you among the faithful remnant of believers? Don't worry, Dave, there's other ones out there. Now, I'm not despondent and on the edge and I'm not complaining to you. And chances are that you're going through what you're going through, but you're not dead yet, and you're not giving it up, right? Are we the people who are the faithful people that God would refer to as he encourages anyone else? Do you know that and believe that about yourself? And if you're the person needing encouragement, do you know and believe that there's others out there and you're not alone? That's what Paul is talking about here. Do we bow the knee to our own images? Are we guilty of modern idolatry? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? What do you do? What's important? Are we bowing at the footstool of the Creator? Do we acknowledge his guidance in the affairs of life? Do we trust him in all darkness? Can we stand alone for him against a multitude of false prophets? God made it possible for us to believe, and here we have the church in Alva. And how much better will it be when we reach the fullness of the calling of God upon this fellowship, when we reach those in our community whom God has called to eternal life? What God has done is already done, and we are how God is showing what he has done. And when we get off base, God corrects us. If you get discouraged, you might just need a nap. Right? As you endure this divine discipline, remember it's God who's treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he disciplines all his children, it means that you're illegitimate and not really his children at all. If you don't experience conviction of God saying, hey, come on now, do you have the Holy Spirit in you guiding you? even the Jewish nation, whom we tend to associate with the death of Christ, when you read scripture, you know, Herod, king of the Jews, right? Pilate and the Jews kill him, right? Even the Jewish nation has a future and a hope. Even Israel on earth today, who they're guilty of war crimes the same as the Palestinians are, but both need to turn to Jesus for salvation. And many do. There are Christians over there. Because God fulfills his promises through everyone who believes and through everyone who takes time to meet with God, and that means prayer, and through everyone who follows God's leadership, right? Last week we sang an army of ordinary people. Remember that? We're called to be the remnant that abides in God's will. We are called to be the remnant, yet 7,000 people, more than 7,000 people, who have not bowed the knee. And for the sake of the salvation of those who have not yet come into church, we're called to live as the church. And there's Paul, and he's saying, you know, Israel, it looks like Israel, but no, but here you are, but they're not out yet. No one's out yet. But we are here to reach. And Father God, I just pray that you help us to hold fast to the things that are true about what the scripture teaches and help us to understand your way in this world. Help us to be bold and to stand firm and to withstand threats. You'll forgive the guy who's preaching, Lord, for remarks that distract or that cast aspersions on others. It's not right to stand in self-righteous judgment over whether other people are good or bad. That's your job. And will you help us to preach the gospel? And like, what is that, St. Francis of Assisi? And if necessary, use words. But our life that people are watching and our deeds would point to Christ. And we're ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, and we sanctify you, Jesus Christ, in our hearts as Lord. Will you guide us? Will you help this church to grow as your kingdom grows because the gospel is preached and it's brought to them and it is explained and because this group is equipped to share the faith that they have? And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time. You've been very patient.